Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4. Yes. Acts chapter 4. We're going to read one verse from Acts. We're going to next go to John chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to read from Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Then we're going to go to John chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Acts 4 and 33 says, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all."
Amen.
John chapter 1, verse 16. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace."
Amen.
"For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." My topic tonight for the teaching is great grace. Say great grace.
Great grace.
Practitioners and partners
with God.
Great grace, practitioners and partners with God. Now the text here uses the phrase great grace where it says, "And great grace was upon them all." And we read in John where the text talks about that Jesus came, we have his fullness, and now we can go from grace to grace, and it's grace for grace. Now, grace, the grace of God, I believe, is our single greatest source and resource.
Amen.
I believe that the grace of God is God's favor. It is God's ability. The grace of God is what I call his operational power, what he uses to do things like save us and keep us and bless us all the time. The grace of God, I believe, is everything he makes available.
Amen.
To you and me. So favor, ability, operational power, and all of God's resources. So then we find in the grace of God everything we need. You believe that?
Amen.
Now, in our text, it uses the words great grace. What does that mean? Is great grace a higher level of grace? No, it's no different. Grace is grace. It's not great in terms of being a different kind of grace. The phrase really means that it describes how the apostles were allowing God to use them. That they were fully engaged and fully involved in the grace of God. And so it's great grace because they let God use them. It's the same grace, no different kind of grace than what you have or what I have, but it's great because of how they allow God to use them. It's amazing to me how God makes so much available to us and we barely tap into it.
Amen.
We barely access it sometimes. Now in a church like this, with a great teacher like this, you're tapping into much more than the average believer, because when you teach the word of God, believers find out what's in there. Mm-hmm. And as Pastor always says, that right believing leads to what?
Right living.
Right living. Okay. But you can't believe without hearing.
Amen.
You can't hear without a teacher.
Amen.
So great grace is not some different kind of grace, not special grace. It's God's grace, but it's what we do with what God's given us that makes it great in our lives. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, grace then, for me, it describes an engagement that the apostles showed us. We see in this text, Acts chapter 4, the whole chapter context shows that they were involved in a season of ministry that resulted in Peter ministering to a man who was lame. The man got healed.
Mm-hmm.
Lame man got healed. But then healing the lame man got them arrested. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it's funny how and sad how that religious leaders can be so jealous
mm-hmm.
of the genuine
yeah.
that they would rather punish somebody for receiving it
mm-hmm.
than just saying, "Praise God, the man is healed."
Mm-hmm.
It's how blind some folk can be about what they think is right until when God does something real,
mm-hmm.
they can't receive it. So they want to just judge it and condemn it. But Peter and John were apostles and believers who were living in, who were engaged in, who I would call practitioners
mm-hmm.
of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
They were partners with God
mm-hmm.
and that they were then being used by God in amazing ways.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not think that the grace of God is like some good idea you get.
Yeah.
I got an idea. What, grace? No, 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 no. Mm-hmm. Grace is not just something you come up with. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that grace and truth came by Jesus.
Amen.
And so we have it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we want to think about the grace of God in terms of our involvement with God. Mm-hmm. We already saved. We got favor with God. We're not trying to make God like us. He already loves you.
Yeah.
He even likes you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Say, God likes me.
God.
You got to believe that, okay?
Yeah.
So we're not doing anything to earn any favor. We're just trying to figure out what to do, how to serve, how to be effective, how to bless somebody.
Amen.
And this is what the text is showing us here on tonight. So this lame man gets healed. It leads to Peter and John being arrested. And what's worse is that, look at what it says in Acts chapter 4, back up to verse 16. Here they are, arrested and before the council. And verse 16 says, "And what shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them. It's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it." That's a good time to stop that show and just say amen. Praise God, the man got healed. We can't deny. Just start thanking God and stop. No, they kept going. Mm-hmm. "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." Mm-hmm. We're going to threaten them and say, "Don't go talk in that name anymore." They couldn't even say the name Jesus. They couldn't even get the words out. That, you know him, that guy, him. And so the apostles were often persecuted and beaten for just serving God, being practitioners of God's grace, God's power flowing out of them, blessing people. That got people in trouble sometimes. Now, the thing about, you know, threatening to beat or threaten Jesus out of somebody. The Bible said grace and truth came through Jesus. Mm-hmm. So there's no sending it back.
Amen.
Come on now. It came and there's no sending it back.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
And so then you can't threaten or beat Jesus and grace out of me. It's already come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was in a meeting one time and I was asked to offer prayer, invocational prayer. And I was at the head table and a Jewish man said to me, "Are you going to pray in Jesus' name?" I said, "Yeah, I always do." "Well, you should don't do that. That would offend me." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Oh my goodness. What did I accept the invitation for?" You know. I said, "Well, sir, I'm not trying to offend. I'm just being authentic. This is how I pray." Mm-hmm. "I expect everyone to pray according to their their way, you know." He said, "Well, you shouldn't do it." Now, I should have stopped right then. Mm-hmm. But I went on. I said, "Well, sir, I don't work for you now, do I?" I shouldn't have said that. It was true. Uh-huh. But I shouldn't have said it. Because the old movie line says, "You can't handle the truth," right? Yeah. Okay, all right. So I did pray in Jesus' name, okay?
Amen.
I'll tell you why. Not to be arrogant. Uh-huh. It's just you can't separate that out.
That's right.
They said to Tony Dungy, "Coach Dungy wants you to come and speak to our group, but please don't talk about God. Don't talk about Jesus." He said, "Listen, I cannot separate that out."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're asking me to separate out what's when grace and truth came. Mm-hmm. Can't take it back. Mm-hmm. Can't separate it out. Mm-hmm. There's a fable. There's a fable of a man who was swimming in a lake. And he saw two fish and asked the fish, "How's the water?" Fish said, "What's water?" I mean, if you're in something, you're in it.
Yeah.
If you're a fish in the water, there's no separating water from the fish. If you're a believer, there's no separating grace.
Amen.
And Christ in my life.
Amen.
So please don't ask me not, "Well, I just can't." You can't separate a believer from his source.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we don't do this to be arrogant. We don't try to, you know, pose ourselves on people. We're being authentic. Mm-hmm. We're just practitioners of grace. Mm-hmm. We're just doing what is lifestyle to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the people who were threatening them didn't believe that. Mm-hmm. They didn't see it that way, obviously. But that's why we have to understand the necessity of our engagement with the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
We read the Bible, we pray, not to earn favor. We have favor.
Mm-hmm.
We do all this to become better practitioners.
Amen.
Of what God has already given to us. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
So then they endured this persecution. They were beaten. They were sent away. They came back to the home church. Say, hey, what? Guess what, y'all? God moved.
Mm-hmm.
Man got healed. We got arrested. We got bent, beat, and sent out of here. Now we're back telling you what happened. Praise God. They rejoiced for being counted worthy.
Amen.
To suffer for Christ.
Amen.
Not for suffering's sake.
Mm-hmm.
But for having fidelity to the grace of God.
Amen.
For staying true to what they believed.
Mm-hmm.
For not letting the grace that came be taken away.
Amen.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we come to the text again, our opening text that said, and with great power they gave witness to.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the trials. His trials are not things we look forward to.
Sure.
But trials do have a purpose. And this particular trial resulted in a deeper engagement of the apostles with the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
a closer connection to Christ in their own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
They became more bold.
Mm-hmm.
Results happened. People got healed.
Yes.
And the result was now with great power, they're giving witness to
Amen.
What God is doing.
Amen.
Now, the power they had, listen, the power was not some big demonstration. The power was the authority.
That's right.
Just the authority to do what they knew they should do.
Mm-hmm.
To love people, to preach the gospel, despite the threats.
Mm-hmm.
That's great power.
Amen.
It's great power to stay consistent with what you know
mm-hmm.
that God has put in your heart and upon your life.
Amen.
It took great power to come down from Fort Wayne to Indy for Pastor Julius and Carol.
Yeah.
I don't mean like Holy Ghost power. It was there too. There's no flashes of light, no burning bush, I don't think. Did angels bring you down here? Angels? Usher y'all down here?
U-Haul.
Say U-Haul, brother. So the power isn't in what you see. The power is in what you're doing. The power is not... Listen, y'all. Folks sometimes miss the supernatural
mm-hmm.
looking for the spectacular.
Right.
Happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says with great power, don't get excited about that in that way.
Mm-hmm.
The great power is that they were obedient
Amen.
To what God put on the inside of them.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, trials then are something that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
We don't welcome. But we got some advice on trials. Look at what James said. Go to James chapter 1. Again, we're practitioners of grace. We're partners with God. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, when you're a man of grace, a woman of grace, you like to fish in the water, grace is your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
When trials come upon a person of grace, something different happens. The outcome is much different for people who know and love God. Because the text said, James said, count it all joy
mm-hmm.
when you fall into, come into these trials.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that? Who actually really does that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think that that's the right time to complain, to fuss, to moan. Some people go to cussing. I mean, sometimes trials bring out, I mean, stuff just fall out of you. Stuff fall out. You know, things you're trying to hold in and hide. A hot trial. Stuff just fall out.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is this, though. Why did he say count it all joy? He said because knowing that
Amen.
The testing of your faith produces patience.
Mm-hmm.
there's something good happening in you. A practitioner of grace, when grace meets trial in the believer gets better. Because it said here, verse 4, let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be complete, become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What's the biggest fear of a trial? Losing something. Right? What if you knew when the trial began, you'd end up with more than you had when it started?
Amen. That's good.
Huh?
Yeah.
You count it all joy. Oh, a trial. Oh, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the trial. Mm-hmm. But listen, I'm a practitioner of grace. I live, this is my lifestyle. So whatever comes at me, with God helping, is going to be transformed. I'll be transformed. I'll become stronger. The old saying is somewhat true. Whatever don't kill you makes you stronger. It's some truth in that. But the more important point, though, is for people of grace and practitioners, those who are involved and engaged in God's grace and God's word, then when trials come your way, you go deeper. You go deeper. You don't run away. You do not, after initial reaction, you're going to feel bad at first. You're going to maybe shed a tear and complain and fuss a little bit. But once you get your right mind back, after the impact of the trial, you go right back into your mode of grace. And now your faith is being perfected.
Amen.
You got the promises of God. You know what the Bible says. You know what Jesus promised you. All the things that God said are working on your behalf now. And as a result of that, grace is having its perfect work, and you're becoming patient. Patient doesn't mean just stand around and wait for stuff to happen. Patient really is, the idea of patience is, I'm working with what God has given me.
Yes.
I'm focused on what God is doing. That's patience. It really is. And as a result of that, Holy Spirit's at work. I mean, all of God's, listen, grace is favor, ability, operational power. Everything God has. So everything in God is helping you in the trial.
Yes.
And so when it's all said and done, you're going to be more mature and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen.
That's amazing to me.
Amen.
That's how God works.
Amen.
The thing you thought would ruin you and take away your life, and it would have done that without God, but through God's grace and God's love and power and your engagement with it, God just was able to work in you. You didn't make him work for you. He wanted to work for you all along. We don't see sometimes what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Can you come up here, Walt, please? Walter Smith. I see Walter. Come up, Walt. Now, this man here, I call him a young man. He's younger than me. So you're a young man. You're younger than me. This brother right here, Walter Smith, is one of our members. He's a musician. But also, this man is a heart transplant recipient.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Now, if you'd have seen Walter Smith here, what, a year and a half ago, or you would have had a bag over your shoulder? And he had a device in his chest.
Artificial heart.
Artificial heart.
Pump, right?
Yeah, pump, yeah. Keeping him alive. At the same time, it kept him alive physically. But see, but a practitioner of grace, you told me, I think that device worked longer than it should have worked for you. I mean, it was going way past its optimal time, right?
Amen.
So you were past the science of it somewhat, and the grace of God was sustaining you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know? And, but the challenge is, you know, Walt, what about 6'3", 6'4", what are you?
6'4".
So here he is, you know, he's on the heart donor list. That's a whole other thing right there. I mean, someone got to die for him to live. But it can't be a little bitty woman to die for him. He's a big man, need a big heart. So his challenge was, in being a bigger man, he had to have a bigger heart donation, which made the challenge all the more, right? In the natural sense.
Right. Yeah.
So the story is, you know, is long and involved, but the point is, you know, he got the phone call and he went to Cleveland Clinic, and on a certain day, when May, you know,
May, you know what day.
Tell me the day.
Surgery was May 26th.
Yeah, you know what day it was. So my point is, that trial, that was a severe trial over many years, defective heart to begin with, really. And that lifestyle didn't help it, you know, at the time. But the point is, this is what God does in trials for people who are engaged with grace, who are practitioners of grace.
Amen.
That you go into the trial with deep trouble and difficulty. But he said, count it all joy, knowing that God is at work. Amen. Yeah. Bless you, Walt. Thank you, brother. Amen. So, and we all have had instances of that, not as dramatic as a heart transplant. But you can think about what God has done for you. When I grew up in my granddad's Baptist church, they would sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. They would sing Precious Lord. Now, I wasn't saved. I'm like, what's so amazing about grace? Oh, come on, people. Why y'all crying? Y'all bawling. Amazing grace. Come on, y'all. Get it together. Get yourself together, people. I didn't understand. What's so amazing about grace? I didn't know. Now I found out. Now I cry sometimes too. Thinking about and singing about the grace of God. Because grace of God is everything. Favor, ability, operational power. Everything God has.
Yes.
And he makes it available to you and me.
Amen.
And not just on demand. We already have it. Grace and truth came through Jesus.
Amen.
When you receive Christ, you receive grace. You already have it. You already have everything that God wants you to have. It's a matter of manifestation, a matter of learning, a matter of accessing it, but you already have it. See, I already have it. So when the trial starts, you don't go looking for grace. It's already there.
Amen.
When you have a prayer need, you call for prayer. Don't act like they got to pray something up and make something happen. You're just accessing what's already available to you.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's always easy. But it's always the right perspective.
Amen.
That grace came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say that grace came to me.
Through
Jesus.
And
there's no going back now.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
One way to think about it.
Amen.
Let me give you an example of grace. A parable, if you will, using photography. Many of you know that I do photography. I'm more of a hobby, and I've done professional work, do some to this day. And photography for me is a great joy. I enjoy doing it. I've been doing it for 43 years, taking pictures 43 years with various types of pro cameras and such. Now we've got these kind of, we have these cameras in the phone now. And these are pretty good cameras in the newer phones. Note that distinction, the newer phone. Okay. All right, okay. Okay. That busted joint you got a bad camera too, okay? All right. But here's the example I'll give you. Now, as a photographer, I understand what's happening. But if you're not a photographer, you can take a picture with a cell phone and think, wow, I took a great picture. He didn't do anything but hold the phone up and press the button.
Right.
Because the cell phone camera does autofocus, auto white balance, auto exposure. It even sometimes put the fake blur in the background. And you took the picture. I took a great picture. Well, you can feel okay about it. But religion is more like that. Religion does everything for you. Even though there was no engagement on your part. And you come away with a picture, you think, I took a picture. Well, okay, that's okay for cell phones. My point is this. When you are a practitioner of photography, you want to know what is the light intensity, the light color, light temperature, we call it. I mean, what is the subject lighting look like, the background? Is the clutter back there? What's happening in this whole frame, we call it? And so the practitioner is not the manufacturer of the camera. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing it for 43 years, but I've never built the camera. Mm-hmm. I am not a manufacturer. Mm-hmm. I'm only a practitioner. Mm-hmm. I'm only taking what others have made mm-hmm. and using tools I have access to. Yeah. And the beauty is that I get to understand the process. Mm-hmm. So when I take a picture and make all the adjustments, I know what happened. I'm involved with the process. Mm-hmm. I suggest that grace is more like that. Mm-hmm. Now, we would think that grace means, well, God, if it's grace, you do it for me. I don't think so. How many of you have had God balance a checkbook? I mean, grace folk now. He don't balance a checkbook? No. That's why it's not balanced? No. You waiting on God? No, but what God gives you and gave you was knowledge of mathematics. Mm-hmm. He gave you, by other some means, a sense of organization and finance. And now it's your opportunity to be a practitioner, mm-hmm. to use what you've been given and handle your finances. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether it's photography, finance, any nurses here today? I know Nurse Ingram, nurse, right here. Okay. Now, what's your name?
Sherry.
Nurse Sherry. Now, tell you something about Nurse Sherry. If you had a headache, Julius, mm-hmm. I can talk about, how's it feel, brother? What's your headache like? Mm-hmm. Describe your headache to me. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of pills in my thing over here. Let me give it here. Take this right here. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that, Sherry? What's wrong with me prescribing him, diagnosing and prescribing him medicine? What's wrong with that picture?
One thing, you don't have a license.
Oh, what's the worst problem?
You might not know what you do.
There you go. I don't know what I'm doing. That's the worst problem. Okay. So, but you're as a practitioner. You didn't create medicine. You didn't create nursing. But as being immersed and engaged with people and the science, you understand how to help people. Mm-hmm. So it isn't automatic for you. It may look like the people, it's automatic. Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's not. See, I believe that the Bible says that we are laborers together with God.
Amen.
We are joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. I like the idea I get to work with God.
Amen.
As a partner. Mm-hmm. You know, in some churches, for communion, you don't even get to drink the wine. Mm-hmm. The preacher drinks the wine for you. Mm-hmm. You walk up there and they put the bread in your mouth. But dink, take that. And now you say, I had communion. Well, you did, but what did you do? Mm-hmm. See, religion wants to take away the engagement. Mm-hmm. Take away the interaction with Jesus. Mm-hmm. The beauty of being a Christian is we is Christ-like. We get to walk with Jesus.
Amen.
And sort things out and figure things out through the grace of God.
Amen.
It's not works for salvation. Mm-hmm. It's just we're doing due diligence. We're practitioners and we get good at serving God mm-hmm. to the point where even when trials come, mm-hmm. you don't lose your mind. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
At some point, God helps us to stop complaining. Amen. Anybody ever been a complainer before? Mm-hmm. You know, God helps us with that.
Yes, he does.
You know, God will get you over that complaining.
Amen.
You know how? He don't help you. We didn't complain. Mm-hmm. He don't respond to that. He responds to faith.
That's right.
You know, God hears us. He sees our tears, mm-hmm. but he wants you to have faith in him. Mm-hmm. So after everything is said and done, then engage with God and grace mm-hmm. and get the answer. And you'll find the answer was already on the inside of you.
Yeah.
You've called the prayer lines. You've called your friends, put it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And God just said, let's work this out, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Be a practitioner. Mm-hmm. Be a partner. Let's work together. Because God made us a family, didn't he?
Amen.
All right. So then we thank God that we see in Peter and John that they were practitioners of the grace of God. That's what made them effective in ministry. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope for the glory of God. He says that we have access by faith where? Into this grace. And in which we stand. Where are we standing? Where are we standing? Sometime? When you have a problem? All the time. And because we're standing in the grace and God's ability and his power and his resources, that helps our mindset. It makes me want to learn more about. Like when I became a photographer, I became more intrigued by all of these controls and instruments. Even to this day, with great cell phone pictures, I still get my camera out to do more critical work. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. Nursing, any profession that you're involved with, it's the same way. Because mm-hmm. a practitioner is someone who is engaged mm-hmm. with a particular art or practice. Amen. Now, let me give you another example here. This is kind of a the camera example was a nice one. This one is less nice, okay? But the Bible says that grace and truth, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Mm-hmm. See, for by grace
I am saved
through faith. Amen. Now, why is it grace that saved you? Why is it grace that saved you?
We didn't do it.
Yeah, grace is everything, mm-hmm. right? Grace is everything. So salvation is inside of grace. Grace, by grace, you have been saved. Mm-hmm. Then it says in Colossians 2, as you therefore receive Christ the Lord, so walk in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
How did you receive him?
By
grace. Through? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Colossians 2 and 6 says, as you therefore receive him, so walk in him. How are you going to walk in him?
Receive.
By? Grace. Through?
Faith.
You got that?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you understand that grace is this great resource, you don't summon it. It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
When you access it and you practice grace, a lot of things make sense to you. Now, here's the story I'm going to share with you about avoiding religious ideas and not being religious about things. Ever heard of a guy named Frankenstein? Ever heard of Frankenstein? Now listen, the big tall creature with the stitches on his head and the thing through his neck, that's not Frankenstein. That's not Frankenstein. That's the creature. Frankenstein is the God who created him. First point, okay? Refresh your memory about that wonderful story, okay? All right. Victor, this is fiction, y'all. Save for the tape. Fiction. This is all fictional. But Victor Frankenstein was obsessed with creating life. Now, I mentioned earlier that God's the manufacturer. God manufactures.
Mm-hmm.
We're practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Say, God manufactures.
God manufactures.
We are practitioners.
We are practitioners.
But when man tries to dabble in the manufacturer side of life,
mm-hmm.
not just in this fictional story, but in real life, kind of manufacture some kind of spiritual reality or some new doctrine,
mm-hmm.
it never goes well. So then Victor Frankenstein was obsessed with creating life so that he created a man out of body parts from dead men.
Hmm.
That part you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. But then he animated this creature, this monster, through a lightning bolt. He came to life. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right. So Frankenstein is alive. Well, Frankenstein's creature is alive. The problem was he gained consciousness. Probably had the mind of a crazy man. You know, he got dead men's brains and dead men's parts. So the creature then turned out to be evil. More than that, when Victor Frankenstein saw the creature was evil, he was horrified by his creation, and he tried to kill the monster. Before he succeeded, the monster killed his brother. Victor Frankenstein's brother was killed by the monster, by the creature. Mm-hmm. Under the threat that you got to create me a mate. I need a mate. A Mrs. Monster. It's all in the story there, okay? But Victor did it because he already killed one brother, threatened to kill another member of the family. So he created this Mrs. Monster. Mm-hmm. But then he was afraid they're going to reproduce. So he tried to kill both monsters. Mm-hmm. Now, Frankenstein's monster is getting a little smarter and he's avoiding these things. And it winds up that the monster killed Victor Frankenstein's wife. Mm. The monster killed the guy's wife who created him. Oh, wait, there's more. And then the monster ended up killing the man who created him. Now, that's the problem. We're trying to manufacture something outside of grace, mm-hmm. apart from Jesus. Mm-hmm. That monster that gets created mm-hmm. is going to hurt others and hurt you. Mm-hmm. There is nothing authentic, really authentic in quote-unquote religion, apart from Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come Amen. To the Father but by me. Amen. Everything else is Frankenstein's creature. Amen? Now look at 1 John 5. I'm almost done here. I want to make it clear that we are practitioners of grace. I mentioned earlier that when Pastor Julius and Carol came down and began the church, they didn't have a sponsoring church, nothing but grace and Jesus. And that proved to be enough.
Amen.
Amen, amen, sir?
Amen.
Well, here's why. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him that is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's a powerful statement right there. He's telling you, here's the authentic, here's the real, right here. That Jesus Christ has come. Grace has come. He has given us an understanding. And he says that we may know him. Now, he didn't say know about him. Know about and knowing is very different. Amen. For example, what's your name, sir? Your name?
Willie.
All right. I know Willie is sitting there. Mm-hmm. I know Willie from meeting him tonight. If not before, I don't remember. I know Willie that way. But I know Julia Stevens mm-hmm. whole different way. Mm-hmm. I know my wife mm-hmm. in a different way. See, mm-hmm. so knowledge is it has levels, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So we want to know Jesus mm-hmm. at the most profound level. Mm-hmm. Because that's your insurance of blessing. Your insurance of peace and joy. That's your ticket out of every trial.
Amen.
And getting more than you had when you went in.
Amen.
See, it's about engagement mm-hmm. and involvement with Christ.
Amen.
Interaction with the grace of God.
Amen.
He says here, verse 21, an interesting verse says, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Mm-hmm. Now, why did he say that? Why did he say what he said before and then now say, keep yourself from idols? Well, he's not talking about idols like Buddha and crazy things. The text, the actual word in the text for idol means an idol is anything in your life or anything in this life that men worship instead of God. Or allow to take the place of God. That's an idol. That's why the things that we enjoy in life, be careful, those things don't become idols to you. Oh, no, Pastor, I love Jesus with all my heart. I know you say that. I know you believe that. It's actually true. Just do not let, don't allow, here it is, say it different. If we stay engaged in the grace of God, mm-hmm. and we practice the grace of God, there's no room for idolatry. Or say it this way. As long as you front slide, you can't backslide. Amen. How about that one? Okay, that makes more sense. Yes, just slide ahead. Keep on front sliding. You won't backslide.
Amen. That's good.
The same principle that idols, you know, it can happen. Even Christians lose the way. Anybody been pastoring more than 2 years have seen believers. Here's an example, common example. Brother struggling, believing God for a good job, gets a good job, and gets himself a car. But the car can't find the church parking lot. The car can't find the parking lot for the church. What happened here? You know, a blessing can become a curse. Not anything spiritual. I mean, just stuff out here. If the thing makes us shift focus, right? So my point is, let's. He said it, not me. He said, keep yourself from idols. Just be on guard, because Christians aren't above not losing salvation. Not a salvation issue at all. It's an issue of focus and effectiveness. We can't be effective for Jesus, helpful to our churches and pastors, if we're just caught up and distracted and sidetracked. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. So then, I thank God to reflect on this truth that, as we read at the beginning, when the apostles endured that trial and test and were threatened and beaten and sent away, and they came back and told the church what God had done. And then from there, the Bible says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness. I love it how when God is finished working with us at some level, we become a little bit more bold.
Amen.
We become more confident. We're more aware of what he's doing on the inside of us. We're more willing to step out on faith and do some things in the purpose of God. I like it that when grace has its way in us, we're practitioners of grace, and we're realizing our partnership with God, that great grace is on all of us.
Amen.
Again, the grace is not better. You're better. You're better. And now God can entrust you with responsibilities and ministries and opportunities you weren't ready for before.
Amen.
How many are ready just to go to a higher level
Amen.
In your life?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I tell you, God's always ready.
Amen.
He's always ready. I have found in my life, in ministry, maybe you found too, that for as much as I say I'm waiting on God, more often he's waiting on me.
Amen.
More often he's waiting on me. To what? To become fully engaged in this practice of serving God, loving God, prayer, whatever it is, whatever it is. Like your professions. When you become really proficient at something, man, you get paid for that. You're solving problems for somebody. You know, you're paid to solve problems, right? You are. And so that when you become a more skilled practitioner in your profession, then it elevates your level. It elevates your ability to serve and help where you are. How much more for us in Christ? We have grace. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got churches and pastors and believers all around us, encouraging us on. We have every reason, people of God, to thank the Lord and praise him for what he's already done.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because grace and truth came by Jesus. He's not taking anything back.
Amen.
It's right there in front of you. Right there within you. Work with it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Say, I'll work with it.
I'll go forward.
I'll let God do
what God does best.
Amen.
Amen.
Give God some praise. Come on, bless the Lord.